Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. Ladies, pay attention. You all been asking for him to come back to the show. Ken Afianco. Yes, FOPlawyer.com. So, there you go. He's on the show. And man, we have got a specially picked main topic because Ken's on the show today. So Catholics, if you're Catholic, be paying attention to the day show. It's the first topic. Also, Captain Brett Bartlett, he's got an exemplary 32 years law enforcement experience, mostly exemplary. And he's also the founder of Exumber Defense Solutions at ExumberDefense.com. And Brett is also a certified firearm specialist through GunLearn and through Dan O'Kelly's company. So thank you guys so much for being on the day show. A shout out to our sponsors, you know, our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. We are doing a free $50 Galls gift card giveaway of the day during the live show. So assuming that we have enough entries, we'll go ahead and make that announcement during the live show. And all you have to do, if you're watching on the stream, type in the word Galls, G-A-L-L-S, and give us your email address so we can email it to you at the end of the show. It's a digital card. So a shout out to Galls, our title sponsor, then our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies. Thanks to them, we're on satellite radio right now. GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. We're streaming the 1.5 million followers right now. And also Two Bells, they built a new online store. Guys, if you want some cool gear like the shirt I'm wearing, go to leoroundtable.com. That's our website. We have an online store that was built by Two Bells, and man, they've got it going on. We don't charge anything extra for the gear that we have. So even the shirt hanging up, if you're watching the video portion of the show, Brett's got a shirt hanging up that he custom did that shirt. What's it say in the back of that shirt, Brett?
It says, admit nothing, deny everything, demand proof, make counter accusations.
You love it. See, statements like that should make attorney Ken Afianco proud. You know, that should make him like, you know, I saw a little smile come across his face.
He's like, at least the admit nothing.
Yeah. So, anyhow, look, the gear, we don't make anything. Like I said, we pay the exact same thing that you pay. We're just trying to get our gear out there. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I know I kind of hinted about the main topic. We got attorney Ken Afianco on here for this. Listen to this, guys. DOJ is investigating anti-Catholic Washington state law requiring clergy to report child abuse. And guys, we're talking about it from the confessional. This is some serious stuff. And you know, the Catholic churches, they're threatening to excommunicate, you know, the priests that comply with the law. This is some serious stuff. So can't wait to dive into this one. And for our next one, we've got a Pennsylvania State Police. They're actually moving to stop using shotguns. So yeah, that's kind of surprising. We've kind of talked about some of that stuff before. We've got Newport Beach police officer fatally shooting a motorcyclist who stole his taser. There's a video component of that. Then we got drone footage showing children that are armed with a gun, and the Bernalillo County Sheriff's, they're trying to get these kids to drop the gun. And this little like 7-year-old takes a shooting stance. It's some scary stuff, but a great video component from the drone. Then we got Attorney General Yosu's shot stop over sale of counterfeit body armor plates. How do you like to be a guy that you think you've got body armor that meets the standards and find out, you know, hopefully not the wrong way, that it doesn't work. Then we got Austin police releasing body cam footage of officers shooting a guy during a traffic stop. And if we have time to get to it, Reading officer shoots at a suspect who drove towards him when escaping the parking lot. Yeah, curious what you guys think about that shooting. You know, perception is a weird thing because, you know, in your mind, you think someone's driving at you. When you look at the video, sometimes it looks a little different than how you remember it went down. So let's go ahead and start off with this main topic. We've got about 7.5 minutes before we take our first commercial break. This is at foxnews.com. We've actually got two articles related to this. The first one, DOJ investigating anti-Catholic Washington state law requiring the clergy to report child abuse. But listen to this, guys. This law was signed by, now look, we're Washington. This is like heavy liberal country, right? So except for Walla Walla County Sheriff's Office, where Sheriff Mark Kreider's at. That is not. But the libs over here, Washington State, the governor, Bob Ferguson, last week required members of the clergy to report confessions of child abuse or neglect. And this is being under, it's under scrutiny now by the DOJ, the U.S. Department of Justice. They've opened up a civil rights investigation into whether this law violates the First Amendment. Now, Washington states this new law, it adds members of the clergy to a list of professionals who are required to report information obtained through confessionals that relate to child abuse or neglect, and they have to report it to law enforcement or other state agencies. Now, the law provides no exception, zero, for the absolute seal of confidentiality, which applies to Catholic priests, according to the DOJ. Now, this is in the DOJ's, you know, complaint. The DOJ also said that the state's new law singles out members of the clergy as the only supervisors who are unable to rely on applicable legal privileges, such as religious confessions, as a reason to not report the claims as mandated. The DOJ Civil Rights Division is investigating whether Washington state's law violates religious protections provided under the First Amendment. And it goes on. Now, the reference for this law is SB, so Senate Bill 5375. Demands that Catholic priests violate their deeply held faith in order to obey the law. A violation of the Constitution and a breach of the free exercise of religion cannot stand under our constitutional system of government, according to Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon. And this is, she's with the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. And she goes on to say that worse, the law appears to single out clergy as not entitled to assert applicable privileges as compared to other reporting professionals. We take this matter very seriously, and we look forward to Washington State's cooperation with our investigation. Yeah, I'll bet they'll cooperate. Governor Ferguson signed the bill into law on May the 2nd, and Fox 13 in Seattle reports the bill will go into effect on July the 26th. So that's getting close. And it also goes on to say the situation also reported that a federal report shows that Washington is one of just five states that does not explicitly require clergy to report suspected child abuse or neglect. And it added that most states exempt information learned through confession from mandatory reporting. But Washington joins a list of handful of other states, including West Virginia and New Hampshire, which do not provide these kinds of exceptions. Now, we're not done yet, because now the Catholic Church has responded. The Catholic Church, in the next article, the Catholic Church is to excommunicate priests for following Washington law requiring child abuse confessions to be reported. So if the Catholic priest in the state of Washington follows Washington law, they're going to get excommunicated by the Catholic Church. The article says the Catholic Church announced that priests will be excommunicated if they follow a new Washington state law requiring clergy to report confessions about child abuse to law enforcement. Catholic clergy may not violate the seal of confession, or they will be excommunicated from the church, according to Archdiocese of Seattle. And he said this in a statement: all Catholics, this is a quote, all Catholics must know and be assured that their confessions remain sacred, secure, confidential, and protected by the law of the church. All right, guys, there you go. This is some serious stuff going down. And I'm curious to see if there's any predictions, but Attorney Ken Afianco, FOPlawyer.com, take it from here.
Boy, I don't want to take up a whole hour talking about this, but I'll just say a few words about it. Understand the history of child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. It's been a serious problem for the last 20, 25 years. It's cost them hundreds of millions of dollars on court settlements. So they obviously have a vested interest in weeding out child abuse. The Catholic Church does have a mandatory child abuse reporting requirement, but this is a little different. This is a confessional in which that information, at least as of now, is protected, absolutely protected. So the problem lies in this. What happens when someone walks into a confessional and says, I molested 100 kids and I can't stop myself, and this is a compulsive behavior that the situation's probably going to continue? Well, I mean, I have my personal opinions about it, but we're talking about the law. I personally don't see the Supreme Court, if it gets that far, saying this would be a law that would be upheld, simply because of several different reasons. One's the separation of church and state. The other is the only reason why this person is confessing is they know what they're confessing is absolutely protected from disclosure. Just like someone walking into my law office, it's the same thing. Whatever they tell me, it's absolutely protected. And there is a public policy on protected communications, because you think about it. What is the purpose of someone going to a confessional or a psychologist, psychiatrist, which is all protected, is to get help. You don't want to dissuade that by saying, hey, if you go in there and say the wrong thing, guess what? You're going to be arrested. It's just a chilling effect is what we call it. I don't see it holding up, but we'll see what happens. You know, there's a lot of issues involved with this, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, serious stuff. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of Catholics that are up in arms about this. What do you think, Captain?
Well, it puts these priests between a rock and a holy place is what it is. I agree. I don't like the fact there's been child molestation in the church, but there's been that going on outside the church. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but where is it going to stop? Could Washington State pass a law that said priests have to report people who confess to burglaries or to thefts or to beating their wives? When is it going to end? But I agree with Ken. I don't think it's going to pass muster when it gets higher up in the court chain. But you know, the priests are going to do what their vows tell them to do, because their vows, at least very theoretically, I suppose, surpass any government entity.
Yep. I agree with you. Good commentary, Jim. Is there anything else you want to add? I mean, I can't wait to watch the comments. I'm watching some of them right now, you know, that are on, most of them appear to really be on YouTube of all places, which kind of surprises me. And I'm scanning the other, you know, the other outlets, but it looks like the YouTube audience, maybe there's a lot of Catholics on YouTube. I don't know, but yeah, we'll follow this and we'll let you know if anything else comes down the pike. But people that watch the show, we want you to be the smartest guys in the room when it comes to the news, especially from a law enforcement perspective. So hopefully you guys can appreciate that. So if you guys are ready to roll, let's go to our first update article. And, you know, we've got Fox56.com, Pennsylvania State Police to stop using shotguns. Now that could be, it's kind of monumental, guys, but look, we got a commercial break. I see the clock flashing. Commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Here we go. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, and that is at Gauls@Gauls.com. And if you guys haven't been to the new Gauls, and I do say the new Gauls for a reason, please check them out at Gauls.com. But, you know, as police officers, you know, we know that you can buy gear from any place, especially if you're looking online. But what I want to remind everybody is that there is an importance of supporting companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill more than Gauls@Gauls.com. Even their motto, proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they also walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor at Gauls@Gauls.com. And listen to this. For the loyal listeners of the show, you can use a code. It's Radio15, so that's Radio15 for 15% off your next purchase. That's good until June the 31st at Gauls.com. Again, that's Radio15, and they have gift cards. Check it out, Gauls.com, guys. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we left off and we bailed at the last minute here, but we left off talking about Pennsylvania State Police. They're going to stop using shotguns. A lot of people don't understand the history there. Now, look, when I started my law enforcement career in 83 and Brett, I believe you were 82, correct, Brett? And look, long guns weren't really an option, you know, so you had your Remington 870, your pump shotgun. Some people carried Mossbergs, but Remington 870, by far the standard with just about any police department, agency, feds, sheriff's office, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's got the 870, even though I like the 1187, the semi-automatic one, you know, the 870 is just a fantastic gun. And, but anyhow, it was a staple for law enforcement for many, many years. And then we came out with patrol rifles, right? And, you know, you had an option, carry the rifle or the shotgun. So I was kind of surprised to see this because there have been applications where a shotgun would be a better fit. Not always, of course, but, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages for both. But a spokesperson for the Pennsylvania State Police said that the agency consistently reevaluates its equipment needs, leading to the decision to move away from shotguns. Now, it says they moved away from shotguns and rifles and instead to the .223 caliber rifle. I know I didn't write the article though, Brett. So what I'm suspecting they're trying to say is that they went to rifles and then added rifles. They're instead of using 5.56, a little hotter round, they're going with the 223, probably for cost saving is what I would imagine. Trooper said the 223 caliber rifle offers advantages such as longer effective range. It says though it wasn't directly referenced in the statement from the state police that made this decision. It says that they made this decision after West Yorkboro police officer Andrew Dart was shot and killed by another officer's shotgun while they were going responding to an active shooter situation at UPMC Memorial Hospital back on February the 22nd. So they think that that might have something to do with it. But Attorney Ken Affianco, we got about 5 minutes before our next commercial break.
You know, Chip, I don't have a problem with this at all. We don't have any shotguns in service in Pinellas County anymore. The shotguns, they all refitted. We have none. They refitted them all. What's that?
They refitted? Not even SWAT?
No, absolutely not. We don't have shotguns. We all retrofitted them, and they're all beanbag guns now.
Oh, okay.
They painted them all red, and they made them all beanbag. So when you bring out a shotgun, it's less than lethal. I don't have a problem with it. I think a long rifle is much more versatile than a shotgun. We all know the reasons why shotguns were used back in the day, because we didn't have the availability of 223s and it wasn't popular. Nowadays, when you have an active shooter, he's not going in there with a 22 shooting up people. He's got a high powered rifle. We need something to match that. And a shotgun to me is not versatile enough. I personally don't have a problem with it. I'm sure there'll be tons of different opinions, but that's me. I have no issues with it. I carry one myself in Pinellas Park Police Department. So that's the way I feel about those. Plus, I could put a suppressor on it, and I won't be deaf if I had a shooting inside of a building too.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little benefit.
All right, Captain Bartlett, I'd love to get your input on this.
Well, I tell you, the article doesn't give a whole lot of information about where everybody was positioned when all these shots are fired. So I'm still kind of wondering about that. But I'm okay with the shotguns going away as well. As much as I love my several Remington 870s, I know that, like Ken said, that's what we had because there was no other option. I don't know if you guys knew this, but for a period of time, Remington made a 223 caliber rifle that was an 870 action. They're very rare and very expensive. And I'll tell you, there's a trend of going away from shotguns, because here in Florida, in the last year and a half, when we went to the new firearms course, Firing the Academy, right? Shotguns are out. They're out. But rifles are out too. Now, mainly it was just a logistical issue. If we'd spend all day just to shoot 20 rifle rounds, all day to shoot 8 shotgun rounds, it just wasn't worth the time. Agencies can teach people if they want to teach them that. But I will tell you, there are just some times when a shotgun just necessary. But nobody's going to carry 2 firearms. And I agree that 223.556 is it. And you remember, Chip, when Chief Hogue came in as our chief, and he asked me, Brett, why aren't you carrying 223 or AR-15s? I said, they won't let us. He said, they're letting you now. And the clouds parted and the sun came down, and the guys in that roll call room said, Chief, you have no idea what you've just done. And that was when we went to the rifles, because before that, it was all a personal preference by somebody who was in charge of the guns.
Isn't that scary? So, but you're right. You really can't logistically carry both. You know, in a perfect world, for those rare situations where that shotgun might be beneficial. But anyhow, it's good to discuss these things and let the general public, you know, hear what goes on in the background and all the things that have to be weighed in. But you're right. Most of our encounters, I see so many encounters where we need a long gun, and we're seeing more of them on these calls. But I had one the other day. We had I think it was a trooper. And he was having a shootout with a guy, and he goes back to the trunk. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to pop the trunk. He's got a rifle there. Nope. He's having the shootout, you know, with a handgun, and he got hit. He got hit in the shoulder, you know? So, we need to see more long guns.
Years ago, when I was involved in teaching the very first rifle course, 223.556 Air 15 course here at Tampa Police. And I told the guys at the beginning of the class, I said, write this down. And they got their pens ready. And I said, write this down. If you screw this up, I'll kill you myself. and one of the first rifle shootings we had, I was talking to the officer. I said, what were you thinking when you were getting that rifle out? And he smiled and he said, I remember your face in that classroom saying, if you screw this up, I'll kill you myself. I said, see, sometimes you have an impact.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. Oh, I love it. So we're getting close to our second commercial break, guys. So I have enough time just to whet the appetite of what we're going to be talking about. And this story, this new one, has a video component. It's a Newport Beach police officer fatally shoots a motorcyclist who steals his taser. This is a dynamic story, guys. You don't want to miss this. Stick around. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those in the front lines from hidden threats. And that's where MITEQ, which is the division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MITEQ provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Now, they're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. Plus, they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MITEQ to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ, because the best defense starts with the right protection. All right, guys, and that is also compliantechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up this week, that is on May the 14th, Anonymous Tips. That's important stuff, guys. Sign up at bluethegold.com today. Join thousands of your peers at Blue and step up your legal game, because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Look, we left off. I kind of whetted the appetite in this next story. It's a doozy. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. There is a video component to this. So look, guys, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel, and I'm talking like you're missing out on anything. I'm talking to our Audible listeners, you know, radio podcast. And if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel. And remember, our show's Leo Roundtable. Go to our Rumble channel, same name. And the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, a version of this live show comes out. But all the videos we talk about are embedded into it. So you always have that option. That happens Tuesday through Saturday. So Newport Beach police officer, he fatally shoots a motorcyclist who steals his taser.
ID. I'm here. Don't shoot me.
I'm not going to shoot you. Don't reach for fucking shit. How about that? Sit down, dude. We'll figure it out.
I don't want to sit down.
Okay, well, you're going to sit down.
No, I don't want to sit down.
You're being detained right now. You're not free to leave. You're not free to get back on your bike. You're going to sit down for me.
I have an ID. Can I get my ID?
No, just sit down over here.
I don't want to sit down over there. I don't have an ID.
Okay, sit down, dude.
No.
You ran the red light. You're pissing yourself.
No. I don't want to sit down over there.
2-6, just having to step it up. Fuck that motherfucker.
So this is Newport, California. So the video from the Newport Beach Police Department, it shows this brief scuffle that ultimately ended when an officer shot and killed a motorcyclist who stole his taser. How in the world did this go down? I'm going to tell you. So the deadly shooting happened on April the 1st, and it's not April Fool's Day, by the way, or not an April Fool's joke, during a traffic stop. And it was on the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, beautiful area. The officer pulled over a 45-year-old named Geoff Sham Sterling, and it's 9:15 in the evening after he allegedly drove through a red light. Now, the dash camera video from the officer's car shows Sterling being uncooperative. He refuses to sit on the curb while he's being detained. And it also, well, you know, it also sees him, it shows him like getting on the bike like he's going to try the ride away. He's just being uncooperative. And then the officer turns away from the guy. He's calling for backup. I don't think he wanted the guy to hear or to see his lips moving on what he was saying. So I think he was trying to covertly call for backup. But the guy starts advancing on the cop as soon as he turns his back to him. And then the cop sees him, you know, kind of lunging at him and stuff. And they get into it. So the two men, they scuffle on the side of the road. And then Sterling grabs the officer's taser and points it at him. And now they separate. And there's about an arm's length between them, between him pointing the officer's taser at the officer. The officer orders him to drop the taser before immediately shooting him 6 times. And he was later pronounced dead. Days after the shooting, according to our article, former Real Housewives of Orange County cast member Lydia McLaughlin said that this bad guy, Sterling, was her brother. So that's the backstory on that. You never know what's going to happen, but this is a pretty wild, unexpected turn. And this, remember, happened in California. So it's not like, you know, shooting a guy with a taser in other parts of the country. This is California. So what does this mean, Captain Bartlett?
Here's what it means. If somebody's not following your orders, just stop talking. Just stop talking. Wait for the backup. Get your plan. Move in. Bad guys don't listen. You can give all the commands you want to. They're not going to listen to you. No bad guy's ever heard when I yelled, stop running. Here's what he hears. Speed up. That's all he hears. Just stop talking. And if the guy's being defiant like that, stop talking. Get your backup there. Get a plan. Be ready. Never give a command you're not willing to immediately enforce. And they go take him. But I love to hear Ken's take on the taser, because I think somebody grabbing my taser, that's deadly force, because I cannot, if you shoot me with the taser, I cannot fight my way through and I am vulnerable, as opposed to, remember what they used to say, getting gassed, you can fight your way through that. So let's see.
Yeah, good point.
I've gotten in arguments with several law enforcement officers about the use of taser and using your firearm to prevent the taser. I will tell you, I'm not in agreement with using your firearm on a taser in all situations. I think that's a dangerous road to go down. But I can tell you this, we've had officers shoot people that have gotten control of a taser. And at least in Florida, they've not been indicted. I assure you, here's what I will tell you what's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to come. In a more liberal state where they don't have as much support for law enforcement, they're going to use taser's own manufacturing books to say this is a less than lethal weapon, so therefore it's not a deadly force threat to you. Because the law, you can't what if it. What if this would happen? What if it's not a what if? It's what's reasonably likely to happen. So to say a blanket statement because someone has your taser, to me, it's a very, very dangerous situation. Here was a little different. The guy had the taser pointed to the guy's back of his head. That in and of itself could cause serious bodily harm and maybe even death if the probe went into a place and penetrated his skull. I get that part. But just to say someone has a taser, I'm a little queasy on that one. And I assure you it's going to happen. Someone's going to use the taser's own manufacturing book to turn it on the officer and they're going to prosecute him for it. Again, I hope it doesn't happen, but I foresee that to be an issue in the future.
You know, I remember when we had issues with using going lethal against people with like rocks or stones and stuff until we remember in an alleyway we had, a damage to property call. Officer confronted a guy at gunpoint that had a rock. Guy hit him in the head with a rock, took the officer's firearm, went and shot a lady in a home, and then had a big shootout and chased with police and stuff. And they were in a world of hurt because he disarmed the cop after he hit him in the head with a rock. I don't know that I can think of an incident to where we've had the taser. And look, they've got new tasers. The ones that we carried, now they've got the Taser 10. You know, you can put it underwater, it'll fire in all kinds of situations and stuff. But I know the ones we had, you push the trigger one time, you release, it's cycling for 5 seconds. If you hold your finger on the trigger longer than that, it keeps going until it runs out of juice. That's what scares me, is when I'm incapacitated, which I would be if it successfully deployed. If he doesn't do the 5 second, you know, if he doesn't take his finger off the trigger, I'm incapacitated. He can disarm me. I mean, do whatever he wants with me. And much less get my car, get my rifle, and all the other stuff too. So that just scares the bejeebers out of me. So,
well, you know, Ken brought up a good point. I haven't thought of it. If it's in their manual, says it's non-lethal, that's going to obviously be a problem. But I think what has to happen is, and I think shooting people over tasers is going to be the next big paradigm in police work, and it needs to be nailed down. And if it's not automatically a shootable offense, and there may be already, I don't know, some training, some guidelines for police saying, look, this is a new thing. Here's what we got. Here's what our department says. Here's what you need to do. Ken, do you know of any policies or training that are addressing that now?
Yes, the taser instructor that I spoke with says just because someone has your taser does not give you the green light to shoot them. You need something more. They're advancing on you with the idea of attacking you. We had a very famous one up in Georgia where a bad guy fought two cops in a parking lot of like a McDonald's or something.
It was a Wendy's drive-thru, I think.
Yeah, he grabbed the officer's taser and he's fleeing, and the officer ended up shooting and killing the guy. Well, I spoke to the actual prosecutor on that case. They didn't indict it. Well, they actually indicted him, and then they reversed the ruling with the new prosecutor. I spoke to the prosecutor, the second one, and I go, what was the reason why you withdrew or recalled the indictment? And I said, was it because the taser, was that considered deadly force? He goes, absolutely not. In Georgia, we have a fleeing felon rule that fell under. And I go, take the fleeing felon rule out of this. In that situation, do you think it would have been justified to use the firearm on that bad guy when he's running away, pointing the taser at the officer? And he flat out told me, he goes, no, that would not have been justified. So it depends. So many factors come into this. You got to understand, what was this guy doing? It's what's reasonably going to happen. If the guy's running away and he's pointing a taser at you, that's not a deadly force. I'm sorry. Now, if he's in an attacking mode pointing a taser at you, that very well may be. I don't know. It's going to be factually dependent is what I'm saying. But I asked the taser instructor, I go, so a blanket rule that you can shoot somebody that has a taser? He goes, absolutely not. We teach not to do that. So, and you may have instructors that teach it differently. I'm just telling you my experience and defending officers who shoot people. I can tell you that this is not 20, 30 years ago where they rubber stamp all shootings. You got body cameras now. You got prosecutors that want to make a name for themselves. I mean, there's so many different factors. It's a whole new ball game now. And I'm just afraid a taser is going to be used against the officer saying, this is a non-lethal weapon. Why are you shooting someone with a non-lethal weapon? That's all I'm saying. And again, people make their own calls. Officer, please, whatever you feel is necessary, do it. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you the issues with doing it. That's all.
Wow.
That's why we like having Ken around, to give that insight that none of us have.
Yeah, he still has the badge. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah. So I love it. So great, great commentary, gentlemen. You know, I popped over the Rumble. And I see MBS in Northwest Colorado. He said he found the Remington 7615P on GunBroker for $1,250. That's not a bad price, actually. I mean, you know, wow. So thank you for the information.
If you don't have $1,250, it's a pretty high price, but yeah, it's about, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that sounds, I mean, that's doable.
I'd be willing to trade a couple of old pistols to get that money.
I mean, I could spend $1,250 and my wife probably wouldn't even be able to find out. So that's the tempting part about that. So,
that's where you're in error.
Yeah, that's right there. Hey guys, we're getting close to our next commercial break. So, we got some more stuff coming down the pike that we're going to be talking about, some really good stuff. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own, these two guys, Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Afianco. Now, GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And if you're listening to the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they've got a great deal for you. The founder, Dana Kelly, has arranged that where you can actually host a seminar at absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity provided by gunlearn.com. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Congratulations to Alan Carposo, who won the free $50 gold gift card as well. So all good stuff. So guys, great commentary on the last topic. And I love talking about guns. If there's if there's no more conversation about that, let's move on to our next topic. And it's still a topic that has a video attached to it. It's kind of scary with these kids. Rumble.com, again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have drone footage that shows children that are armed with a gun. And this is in the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office. And they're considering charging the parents. And I thought that was interesting. This is in New Mexico.
I need you to put that down.
We want to help you, Sean. You tell me what you need after you put it down, and I'll make sure that we get you some whatever you need, okay?
We're just going to wait for a second.
Can you do that for me? Well, your mom gave me your name backwards then. All right, then Eugene. Can you put it down for me? Now Sean has it. Sean, can you just toss it to the side, babe? Let's make this easy. Because we want to help you.
I want to try to do a warning, something.
Put it down, like Sean. We don't want to hurt you, okay?
I just don't want to fucking...
Put it down, Sean.
I really don't want to fucking 40 a kid right now.
We don't want to hurt you, and we want to help you, okay?
It'd be...
Put it down, baby.
40 going out. 40, 40, 40.
Drop it! Drop it! Drop it, Sean! Load another one!
Load another one! Drop it now! You're gonna get hit!
Drop the gun!
Drop the gun!
Drop it! You dropped the gun! Taser! 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 Put your hands off! Put your hands off! Pull them off! Drop it!
Drop it now. Drop it, both of you.
I don't even have the gun. I don't have the gun. I
don't have the
gun.
So chilling video shows the dramatic moments deputies face confronting two kids. They're both under 10 years old, and they have a loaded gun. The two boys in the video are 7 and 9 years old, if you can believe that. And the sheriff's office, the sheriff, John Allen, credited the drone program for helping stop what could have been a deadly shooting. I have to kind of admit it and agree with that statement. Instead of being charged with a crime, deputies say they're working to link the family with behavioral youth or health services. Now, it was a high intensity situation. Deputies are trying to get these two kids to put down the gun. You've got a drone overhead. The kids kind of seem to be oblivious to the fact that the drone's there, but they can hear and we can hear commands from law enforcement. They finally had a female giving commands, which I thought just to me seemed like it went over a little bit easier, you know, better for the kids. This was in February, and the sheriff deputies were called to the home because they've been there before. And this time it was for a 9 and 7 year old playing with a handgun. After 5 minutes of talking, deputies fired non-lethal projectile at the wall that the kids were by and moved in to stop the kids and grab the gun. Deputies captured it from a drone. And here's the sheriff saying, I will tell you, if it was not for our drone program, we would have probably went in there a little bit more blind and been into a deadly force confrontation pretty quick, as you can imagine. And it would not have gone well with us killing and shooting a 7 and a 9 year old. And this is Sheriff John Allen talking. After securing the gun, the agency said that its behavioral health unit took over the case, and they have not filed charges so far. It's just we're dealing with a 7 and 9 year old. And so now we're looking at the adult side, how they got the firearm, and if they're going to be charged, you know, the parents with the Benny Hargrove law. And he said that in the 3 months since the case unfolded, the agency has linked the family with case management, trauma therapy, medical services, behavioral support. It sounds like it got a lot of good things going on. The agency said the case remains under investigation, and they're still trying to figure out exactly how the kids, you know, got a hold of the gun. But I tell you, there's one point with this drone video overhead, and you've got the cops trying to tell the kids to drop the gun. You've got the older kid passing it, the 9 year old passing it to the 7 year old brother, right? The 7 year old takes a shooting stance. Oh my gosh, you gotta be freaking kidding me. And the cops are on the other side of this, like a wooden fence or something. The kids are like at the back of the house. Then they go behind like it looked like almost like an air conditioning unit with a tarp over it. And then the brick wall for the house. And they're in this little, you know, like 2 foot space, passing the gun back and forth. Oh my gosh. I love happy endings, but what did you guys think? Kind of nerve wracking. This could have gone either way, guys. Captain Brett.
Up until this morning, I thought I'd seen everything a police were And I have never seen anything as weird as this. And it wasn't just the one kid. Maybe he had, you know, a mental child. It was two of them. And then one passed off the other guy. We've seen that on the street. Here, hold this. I'm a prohibited person. I'm not allowed to have it. But notice this. That handgun had a white low receiver. Okay, so we see a lot of this nowadays. Guns have all different kind of colors. I just wonder, just from the video, did the kids really understand what was in their hands, what was going on? I don't know, but it's the parents' fault from start to finish. It's the parents' fault. But what an odd dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine these two kids growing up and, you know, like when they're six, you know, when they're 16 and 18, and the 18-year-old say, "Hey, remember that time I gave you that gun when the cops were telling me to drop it, so I handed it to you, and you took a shooting stance?" You know, I can picture that conversation later on. Oh my gosh, Ken Afianko.
I watched this video and I'm like, Brett, you got to be kidding me. For real. All you hear is a cop saying, "I don't want to shoot a kid. I don't want to have to." Listen, these kids were in a position where they could have easily shot and killed a cop. Could you imagine being forced into shooting a 7-year-old kid who's shooting a gun at you? I mean, that in and of itself would be trauma for the rest of your life. How in the world did this end up like this, with two kids behind an air-conditioned vent or whatever it was, holding a gun, and as you pointed out, in somewhat of a tactical position, which is just mind-boggling to me. I mean, I don't understand any of it. I hope they get the help these kids need, but how did they get the gun? You know, I mean, there's so many questions that need to be answered, but if they got the gun from the parents need to be charged with some sort of a crime, because this is just absurd. This could have turned out a really bad.
You brought up a good point, Ken, the human component, because a lot of people think that we're all business and there is a human side. The cops verbalizing the fact they were put in a situation they didn't want to be, but they had no control over it. I mean, what if the kids would have, you know, what if mom and dad came out and they just started, you know, shooting in the house or shooting at a drive-by car or shooting at another? I mean, you know, there are situations that can happen to where you have to take lethal action. In a situation like that, you have no other choice. And they did not want to be there and have to deal with that. And you're right. The trauma, from having to shoot a kid like that, yeah, that is these cops. I'm glad they humanized the scenario, and the sheriff's office did it. I mean, they did a jam up job. And you know what? I'm a believer in drones now. Let me tell you. You know, well, how valuable to have the kind of taxpayer dollars to buy equipment like this. Good job, sheriff, and your agency for equipping your guys with stuff like this and teaching them how to use the technology. I love it. Speaking of technology, Brett, you're up.
You know, I don't know what was going on in this kid's life, what they were learning. Remember, Colonel Grossman years ago wrote a book, "Stop Teaching Our Kids to Kill," and yeah, that didn't work because all these violent games. I don't know if that was a factor or not, but from a parent perspective, I just want those policemen to go knock on the door, introduce themselves to the parents, and punch them in the throat. just go, "Listen, I don't know what else is going to happen, but I'm going to punch you in the face," and you know, give them some street justice.
All right. Ohio Attorney General.gov. Attorney General Yost sues ShotStop over sale of counterfeit body armor plates. Scary. So we're in Columbus, Ohio for this one. We've got just a little over 2 minutes, guys. So the Attorney General, David Yost, is suing Body Armor Company, its affiliate, and the owner of the companies for allegedly selling unsafe equipment to Ohio consumers. So this lawsuit, it targets ShotStop Ballistics, Valmar Studios, and owner Val Leave. The lawsuit stems, according to our article, from a cross-agency investigation launched over allegations that ShotStop was misrepresenting both the origins and protective ability of its ballistic products. And it goes on to say that ShotStop, based in Stowe, it marketed and sold body armor and other ballistic research products through a website and various retailers. The company claimed that its products were made in-house and by its affiliate, Valmar Studios, and that they met safety standards established by the National Institute of Justice, NIJ. Now, the investigation actually took place by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ohio Attorney General's Bureau of Criminal Investigation, and they found evidence that ShotStop allegedly imported Chinese-made plates, and this is a pre-tariff, and falsely label them as Ohio manufactured and NIJ certified. That is scary stuff if that's true. In reality, the plates, the main protective component of bulletproof, they say bulletproof vests, is really body armor, not bulletproof, but it did not meet the safety standards necessary to protect the users, the people wearing it. The lawsuit further alleges that the defendants at one point offered NIJ certified product, but later sold non-certified product as certified. The lawsuit is trying to get restitution for consumers who bought the defective bulletproof vest. ShotSpotter subsequent, they filed bankruptcy, and the federal government seized company records in 2023, and there's also some criminal federal level stuff going on. Wow. We've only got 40 seconds, guys, but wow. How do you like to be an agency and outfit your guys with that stuff, Brett?
Body armor made with slave labor in China. That's a perfect recipe for disaster. I'm sorry, China.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
10 seconds, Ken.
I'm just happy that no officer was hurt before they discovered this.
Yeah, that could put somebody in a world of hurt, quite literally. So that's a great way to close out the day's show. Another fantastic show. Captain Brett Bartlett, Attorney Ken Affianco, thank you guys so much. But we're not done yet. You know, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special going for $1,000. You can get not only a cool looking guitar, but you can get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And you can do all that at guitars4cops.com. So make sure that you guys check that out as well. Guitarsforcops.com. And, you know, I just want to give a shout out again to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to make sure that this program is available for you. Our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells, that built a new online store at Leo Roundtable. And also the TampaFP.com, FormerLawman.com, and LawOfficer.com. Thanks, guys, for watching the show. Thanks a lot for your support. We'll look for you back live tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.